good afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Nameless Winfrey.
Okay, and who's going to do the veterans? That's the Honorable, Mr. Neal. We will conduct the hearing at this time, sir. So just hold on, and the next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay. Are any of you here for Mr. Winfrey?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For the first time in front of board to be here a little bit before call you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, and then I put a letter that dates back to about 1989 of June, how it includes dirt lighting, arson, armed robbery, some weapons violations, kidnapping, and burglary. Your disciplinary record, since you've been incarcerated, is moderate and includes rioting, fighting, disbanding, and assault on staff. And your last major was on February 4, 2016, for possession of communication device.
Yes, sir.
You also have majors for fighting in August 7th, 2014. And let's see, you have very impressive programming, with 9/6/2014. You have good police plan that includes housing and work. I have two support letters, and we have some support in the audience here, so you have good community and family support. And I do not find any letters of opposition. I'm going to give a brief summary of the offense at this time, and then we'll give you an opportunity to give us some information. Seemed late on the 27th of January 1992, you and the co-defendant went to the victim's house, and the third individual that apparently drove you and stayed in the car. While you're inside, your co-defendant gave the victim some sample marijuana to inspect. And while he was inspecting the marijuana, you shot him in the side of the head, killed him, and then he took his keys and his car. So, yeah, that's the basics of that. Sound correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I've not, let you get to know you, and since it's your first time in front of the board, the entire board would like to get to know you a little better. All that we ask you is to kind of tell us what was going on in your life and in your mind when this offense occurred, and a little bit about what happened at that time.
Well, at the time that the offense did occur, I was young. I was not in my right state of mind, and I don't like explaining, because explaining sounds like excuses, and I don't provide any. I was young. I was gangbanging. I was not in my right frame of mind. I had a lack of father figure or mentor in my life. I didn't have one of those, so the streets became a mentor to me. And, you know, it didn't stop when I got here. You know, there was nobody I could actually have as a father figure. So my disciplinary history is reflected with that. However, there was progress, but it was in spite of the fact I haven't been able to, as a child, I haven't been able to connect to a father figure other than my grandfather, and he passed when I got locked up. Well, actually, Dad got arrested, and I'm nervous, so if my voice is trembling or anything else, that's why. I'm not a bad person. I just made the worst mistake of my life that day. You know, a friend took me to Tucson, and I never knew that Mr. Lemon would be that important in my life. I didn't know his name, but I heard his name. It was the same guy that did testify against me. He took me to Tucson, so I didn't see this coming. You know, I didn't know what that day held. It wasn't the thing that I had planned.
Well, then, when you entered the house with the co-defendant, were you planning at that time to knock this guy off or kill him or anything?
No, actually, when I went out there, I went to Tucson to hang out with my co-defendant, because I had been at a party previous to that, like a week or so previous to that. And the guy that got shot against me, Danny Parker, he came to pick me up and took me to Tucson. So we were hanging out, and they were discussing something at the house in Tucson. And Mr. Lionel, my co-defendant, had said that he needed to stash some weed somewhere, and he had somebody that would allow for him to stash some weed at their house. And me and Mr. Lionel, when he said that, I volunteered to go along with Mr. Lionel to do so. And everybody else, they stayed there, but we both attention to what they were saying, but I was looking at the house because I was nervous about the situation to begin with. And when they both stood up and stood erect, you know, they didn't look like they were playing, and I pulled out my gun and I shot Mr. Lennon. And then I went outside and Mr. Parker left, and Mr. Lytle went back and took on a lot of drug sticks. So Mr. Lytle went back and got Mr. Lennon's keys, and we left in his car. We drove to Phoenix. 2 days later, we were trying to get rid of Mr. Lennon's car, and we were arrested. And that's about the story of my life. That's what happened.
Okay, so you went and you were armed, you had a gun with you.
Which, yes, I
did. You know, you said you're gangbanging, I mean, it's pretty common practice.
Yes.
So when they stood up, you thought they were going to fight?
I didn't know. I thought that, you know, when I went with somebody who had a lot of drugs to a guy's house who didn't have drugs or whatever the case was, I thought it was a robbery, to be honest. I mean, I responded the way I thought I was supposed to respond.
Okay.
I didn't know any better. And I didn't, like I said, I hate providing these explanations because they sound like excuses. I swear that's not what I intended to do.
Okay.
I did that, and he didn't deserve that. Neither. I mean, I killed him, I killed myself as well, so.
Okay, well, I think where I was going with that was that you didn't get over the intent to kill anybody.
No, sir.
Because we see that by the two words, you know, going in as whip out. Right. Okay, so, of course, so you were, it didn't take long before you were incarcerated, so you didn't have any further chance to increase your criminal history, which is, you know, that part of it's good. Since you've been incarcerated, what have you done to straighten yourself out, get your mind right, whatever you want to call it, that would make you better capable of being out in the community than you were at the time that the offense happened?
Well, you know, since then, I've gotten closer with my family and my friends, and I don't have a lot of friends, and I don't even have a lot of family, but the few I do have are near and close to me, and I took a few creative writing courses that aren't in the thing that you're looking at. And I wrote movie scripts with a friend who has a production company. I have one in front of me now, it's called Rent Party. And I've taken a lot of different classes that are showing up on the thing. I have a lot of classes. I don't know if you can see them, but I do everything that I can that's productive, that can actually help me, that can be productive out there. If I'm allowed to be free, I try to take classes like my construction classes and things of that nature that tell me that are actually usable out there. You know, there's a lot of courses in here that people aren't going to apply when they're free. So I try to make sure that the things that I have taken are usable. And my family, I had three grandsons. Well, I have two grandsons and a granddaughter. Recently, I just had a granddaughter. And my family, like I said, my family means the world to me, like my friends. And I've tried to tighten their bonds, and this is why I have a communications device as well. And I don't want to come up with excuses because I have a communication device, like I call it a communication device. It's just that they mean so much to me to talk to them. You know, I risked it, and I shouldn't have. But I needed to speak to them. I mean, they mean everything to me. And,
I mean, your attitude toward the family is very meaningful. And it's good that you were able to get closer. Sometimes temptation gets the better. I mean, at least it wasn't drugs or weapons or those kind of things that were to got you in that last time around with your last discipline. So it's interesting when you started talking about classes. Are there classes that are, the ones you said weren't showing up, are they ones that are offered by DOC or what we see inmates take?
Well, some of them were. I took all the courses actually from FEMA. Mm-hmm. I took all the courses that you could take from FEMA minus the courses that you have to take on the computer. So I have a bunch of certificates in that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's good. That shows a lot of admissions there. Because by the same token, we hear a lot of people coming from the board and they got four or four classes. They say nothing is available, but there's more available than what is physically offered.
Yeah, you can go outside of it, definitely.
I saw one today, in fact, he had the cement finishing. Kind of caught me by surprise. The electrical and carpentry, a lot of that stuff is a little more understandable. How they teach that when you're incarcerated, but cement finishing seems like it's a little bit out there. If you were to be released, your plan would be to stay with your mother, Paula.
Yes.
And so you have a family friend that has a construction company. That's good.
Yes.
And that would provide money for girls. One of the requirements the DOC has before they will let somebody out like this is that you have to be able to show that you got either your own money or financial support for the first 2 months that you need to be out there. And if you're going to live with your mother and things, and you got family support here, so I'm assuming that they would make sure that you got a roof over your head and food and clothing until you can get your job and get established and get some paycheck coming in?
Yes, yes. They love me just like I love them. They'll be there for me. They are my strongest and my best advocates. They're my allies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, your best allies will be those three grandkids.
Oh, yeah. Is he there?
No.
My oldest?
No. No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. But I have seven grandkids, so I can appreciate grandkids coming on, and they're a lot of fun, and
they
do a lot of mischief too. So, all right. So also, when you get out, are you going to pursue programming?
Oh yes, of course. I would actually like to study to be a chef as well. I have a 5-year plan rolled up, and I didn't get a chance to send it in every time because the letter that I wrote seemed like a bunch of excuses, so I never got to get into it. But I have a 5-year plan rolled up that I run with me.
Well, that's good. We like to see people that can make a plan. Sometimes it won't be more than 6 months, but that's better than just walking out the door and not knowing where you're going, what you're doing, or why. And a 5-year plan is a very good accomplishment to be able to think out 5 years like that. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time, and then once we're done with that, we can move to your supporters.
Okay.
Any questions from the board? Ms. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Winfrey, the department provides phones to be able to call your family. So why did you have to have the cell phone?
I needed the phone for my daughters and my grandkids. My daughter, unfortunately, and my youngest daughter is a prostitute. She's in the streets. And the only way that I can catch up to her is when she's in motel rooms. And that's the only way I can talk to her. My friends, well, they've applied me on my visitation list a few times and they weren't allowed. And the only way I can talk to somebody is if they're approved on my list.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I was looking through your paperwork. Were you shot once before in the face?
Yes, I was, sir. Sir, it was at 25.
Right. That's what it said in there. Did that have any influence over what your reaction was during this period of time, man?
Yeah, it was very traumatic. As a child, when it happened, it seemed very surreal, to be shot. And I woke up in the hospital after I was shot. kind of took me by surprise. I didn't, you know, I didn't know. It's why I kept a gun as a gangbanger. Don't get me wrong, when you're a gangbanger, you usually keep some type of weapon, but I usually kept a gun because I was afraid for losing my life. But again, sir, I don't want to make that sound like an excuse, and I say this a lot, the cousins, the excuse of the cousins is reasons, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I did. I was, it's very traumatic.
Okay, so you said that you have a 5-year plan. Can you tell me a little bit about that 5-year plan? We don't have it, but you have it there.
No, I have no problem with it. I'll read it to you. Give me 1 second. It's not long. I got a diagram down. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my ultimate goals. I want a restaurant with that. My acceptable goal is to sell these sausage products online. And I have a specific type of sausage product that I've come up with that my 5-year plan, due to a copyright infringement, the food I intend to make cannot be made clear because its distinction is in its name, so I can't really say its name. For the purpose of the 5-year plan, it will be referred to simply as sausage. From day 1 to 6 months, I will contact every culinary art school in Phoenix and check to see if their student loan department can bond me. I will, at the same time as I'm seeking a culinary school to attend, call all construction and plumbing companies who will hire ex-cons with or without bonding, but I have an advantage there because I have a friend. Month 6 to the first year, I will be going to school or working before 6 months, possibly both. If it's only school that I can attend, then I'll study twice as hard and I'll perfect my craft and seek employment cooking upon graduation. If only work, I'll self-teach, read books, and watch instructional videos on YouTube until I can perfect making my sausages. If both, then see, I'll recognize the blessing and study 3 times as hard and perfect my craft and begin saving money. From year 1 to year 2, if option A is relevant, I will have graduated and working in the food industry cooking, and I'll save 40% of my money. And after bills are paid, I'll use the saved money to begin at the beginning of year 2 to purchase materials to make sausages. If option B is relevant, I'll save 40% of the money I have left after bills are paid, and I'll self-teach in option C. And if option C, I'll save 40% of my money after bills are paid. And then year 2 to year 3, if option A is relevant, I'll take my certification, use it as a means to solicit money and materials from crowdfunding websites to start my own business selling sausages. I'll allot 3 to 4 months for accepting crowdfunding before I begin purchasing used materials and ordering meat with my own finances. Then I'll file for my LLC at the courthouse or online and all other permits and licenses. And if option B, I'll begin purchasing the materials necessary to make sausages, and I'll purchase used to cut costs. I'll purchase used materials to cut costs, and then after filing for permits and licenses, I'll start selling sausages. And then year 3 or 4, expand to at least one more marketplace to sell my sausages. Take two hours before I go to sleep each and every night for at least a month to think of the best way to diversify my business, and I'll invest all my profits back into my business. And year 4 to 5, I'll hire a manager and check in to get a grant or a loan, a low interest loan, in order to open my own restaurant. Sir?
So what kind of restaurant is it going to be?
I have a certain sausage that I make. It's an exotic sausage with different kinds of meat. And it will be like a sausage and home cooked meals with sweet potato fries and things of that nature. Something small. I'm not looking to open up a big chain or anything, but something small like a mom and pop shop, you know, something I can help my family with or my friends.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Winfrey?
Yes, sir.
Just a follow-up. I guess more out of curiosity on the instant offense that brought you here. I heard what you had to say that, you know, this wasn't a planned event. It's a tragedy. I really appreciate your ownership. I am curious, what was at stake? It said over marijuana, but was it a lot of marijuana or money or...
It was, the marijuana was like 10 pounds at best. It was in a couple garbage bags, a couple not big trash bags, but a couple brown paper bags. That's what he was carrying. And I think I was like 18 or 17. I was going to turn 18 in March. I was 17. And when this happened, it spooked me. I'd already been shot, so, you know. But yeah, it wasn't over a lot of drugs. It wasn't over a lot at all. But I mean, I'd never been in a big time drug deal like that. So when that happened, I didn't know how I was supposed to respond, you know.
I do want to commend you for all your programming. It's tremendous. And it sounds like that you've done a lot to develop yourself personally inside the Department of Corrections, and it's a reminder that it is what you make of it. We recognize that it's not fun and that it can be rough, but we certainly hear a lot of stories about people taking advantage of being in there to pursue programming and education. You also said that you write?
Yes, I do, sir.
How's that going?
It's going awesome. I have a friend that can tell you more about my writing. I wrote 6 movie scripts. I wrote four or five. Well, actually, I wrote 7. I wrote 5 short scripts and 2 full lengths. So, I mean, it's going awesome. He's selling them. So,
good. That's outstanding. It's not an easy business to sell your work in. I've kind of been near that.
Yeah.
But I was curious when you mentioned that. I was wondering how that was going for you. I won't take up any more time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Dr. Ray?
No, go ahead, sir. No questions.
All right. So, we'll go ahead and call your supporters up, allow them to tell us what they think of you.
All right, thank you, sir.
Whatever woman you would like to come up. We always hope that the supporters have good things to say about you.
Yeah, it looks so bad.
My name is Paula White, and I said I was inventing this woman. My name is Paula White, and I am his mother. And he is a good guy. He made mistakes in his young life, and the biggest one being what I ended up here. However, this was my son when he came in. He was an angry young man. And he blamed everybody for being in there other than himself. But man, he has grown. He has grown so much. And it's funny you say food. He was that kid that could come up with a meal when there was nothing in the house to eat. He could just create a meal. But he has a brother that's been born since he's been incarcerated. He has 3 grandbabies. And his daughter stays with me now. And like he said, his other daughter is in the street doing things. I also have custody of his oldest grandson. And I've seen my son grow so much. And we talk a lot. And I know that he is truly remorseful for what he's done. He had major family support growing up. We've always been a loving family. In fact, his friends used to say, God, you guys are the huggingest family I've ever seen. But he got out there in the streets and the gangs. He got involved with the gangs. And as hard as we tried, we couldn't keep him from it. And he's made a lot of mistakes. But he's learned from these mistakes, and he has been positive. He has been one of the best fathers and mentor to his brother and grandfather inside these walls. He's been better than a lot of grandparents and fathers and sons inside these walls and a lot of people out there with their children. He taught my son and I how to the yoga and meditate. He's lost a lot of people since he's been incarcerated. Just this past year, 2017, he lost his stepfather. He lost two of his uncles. He's lost a cousin and a sister-in-law. He lost my mom and dad a while back, and he's very close to it. I just know that he is remorseful, and should he ever be released, chose to release him, he would never ever do this again because he has a plan. And we talk about his plan a lot. Talk about it a lot. And he is a very intelligent man. And when he would get in trouble as a juvenile, I would pick him up from the police department, from the police station. They would tell me, your son is so intelligent. What is he doing gang banging? My son is 6'11". You can't tell when you're sitting there. And my dad used to put him in basketball camp every year. And he figured, just because I'm tall doesn't mean I have to learn to play ball. So he never learned to play ball. Unless he was doing recreationally, but he is a good person, and he has changed so much. I have seen my son go from this angry young man to a responsible young man with a plan. And this is his brother, when he was little, and his sister that I adopted, she's actually my niece. And he has been like a great mentor to his children, his grandchildren. And he's helped me a lot, willingly, to get through a lot of the deaths in the family that we went through this year. And that he's had to go through by himself. Not being able to hug him or anything, but I just want to say that, like my brother's letter, you guys said you got two letters. We actually have three. There was one for him. But my brother said, who spent 17 years in a federal prison, it wasn't the prison system that made him get his act together. It was what was within him. And I believe that's the case with my son, too. I believe it's what's in him that makes him be the person that he is today. And that's all I got to say. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your bathroom cleanup.
I'm trying to keep it. Does anyone else like to speak? Come on.
My name is Tanisha Williams. I am Lewis's daughter. From what I learned, like, your father, when it comes to daughters, it's like your first love, your protector, you know, your provider. And that's something of riveting it to experience. We kept in contact for, you know, since I was young, as much as I possibly could, but or however, same thing for everybody. With my mom and the man she chose to marry, and that was in my life for, you know, as until I was older, wasn't even project a real father figure, because later I was sexually abused by him. I was physically abused by my mom. And I don't know, it put up a wall with me, because the one who I knew would protect me was behind the walls. I've been through a lot of things that my dad doesn't know about. I try not to share it with him because of the situation he's in, and I don't want to break him. You know what I mean? Like, I want him to know that I went through all of that, but I still stood tall and I stood strong because that's what my father taught me to do. You know, like, there's going to be battles, and the hardest battles go to the strongest one. And I think I have the strength that I have today to go through everything that I've been through if it wasn't for him. I don't know. Well, Lord forbid, but she didn't say anything. But she has health issues. My grandma back there, and as she said, I was staying with her, and I have my younger uncle, and I have my little nephew who just turned 8 years old. She said something did happen to her. Like, I don't know how we ever to raise these boys, you can't, I'm a woman, I can't really raise a man like how boys are supposed to be raised into men. And I grew up with I really need his help, like a lot more than through a phone or visits, like, because they need hands-on, Lord have mercy. I mean, I don't have kids, maybe kind of make one mistake against that one. I had everything in my head where I wanted to say, but was so confident and scared once we get up here. When I asked for a second chance, not so much, it's for him, but I think it's more for me and my family, so a second chance so that I could be able to experience what I see all these other people, women or females, go through with their fathers, their bond, the type of relationship that they have. I wouldn't feel that because I haven't felt it. And I go, all these people, or even women that come in my life, you would think, you're looking for that boy that's there, but I don't think it's ever going to get fulfilled until I'm able to feel that with my father, like myself, like in the flesh. Like, I know in this mistake that was made, someone did lose their life, did he spend his life, and I had to go my life without him, so I don't want to just push that to the side because there's a reason why we're standing here. Just hope you guys really take into consideration, I don't know, just a second chance. Because trust me, he didn't want to come back here because I'm worse. Any of those CEOs and everybody who's will be able to deal with going through this. I refuse to lose my dad or my father again. You know what I mean? Thank you for listening to me.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Can I add, my son has also been a mentor to other prisoners and they help them study and get their GEDs. And this is where he got his right here. So we're going to have guys do it.
Which one of you wants to come up next? So you know the next time there won't be any choice, so we'll have to come up, right?
My name is Jeremy. I'm just a younger brother. So these games aren't really good. He's been mentoring me for like since I was little. Ever since my dad passed, he's been in my corner, every step of the way. Telling me how to be the better man, grow up, without making the same mistakes he did, to not end up in the place that he is right now. So he would bring things up, as a reference to, remind him and remind me to, to not do anything wrong in the future. So if he does be released, he told me that, me and him are gonna have, much more time to be together, and since I don't have a male figure, he's been the only one, that's been giving me advice, taking care of my mom for one, and being the man of the house, taking care of my nephew, if so, my niece. Ever since, every time that we go, visiting him back and forth, it's just hard going in, and just waiting for him to just come out. And then when the visitation is over, it's just hard to walk away from him and just, say goodbye. When in reality, you want to be fixed to that person. instead of, you know, walk away from them and then wait for another week or so on that Sunday or Saturday or Sunday just to say hi again. So it's kind of hard for them, you know, it's kind of hard for me a little. And, you know, I'll be there for my brother 24/7, you know. So, yeah, I hope he knows that I love him so very much, you know, and I want to see him come out. Thank you.
So, I have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind. First of all, how old are you?
18.
Pardon?
18 years old.
So you say he's been your cornerstone. Has he, the way you're talking and it looks like he's convinced you to stay away from the gang banging and that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
You've done a good job of that?
I've been staying away from my whole life, since, you know, my oldest, you know, 13 going up. I've never been around the wrong people, and even if I did, I think of him. So every time, you know, if I was around the wrong people, I would probably think of my brother. So I mean, so every time, you know, he would tell me not to do this, not to do that, watch out for these type of people. So I would just not be around them. You know, I just make the right decision, you know, and just, you know, walk away from, you know, walk away from the situation and just, you know.
That's very commendable. It's very commendable that he can mentor you from, you know, from inside the prison, and it's very commendable that you pay attention to it. You know, there's a lot of young people out there that don't pay attention, and they get in trouble. And so, and I'd like to commend you for not being in trouble and for supporting him. Thank you.
One quick question, sir. Just a quick question. You're 18 years old, so I know this isn't your hearing, but I think it does speak well of his mentoring. It's a statement. But what are your plans? And I'm not going to take up a lot of your time.
No, can you clarify, like?
I mean, do you kind of go to school, or are you working now?
Right now, it's kind of hard because I don't go to school no more. But right now, I'm working on getting my GED for the time being, and so from my GED, I'm planning on, you know, thinking about going to college, either going, you know, to either community or an actual college, and then, you know, to further my education. As you can see, he's going to further his education so, you know, in the process of, you know, me getting the GED, then I have, you know, things to, you know, think about in the future. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi, my name is Demari A. Cohen. I'm the gentleman that I know Chris Winfrey talked about the movie scripts. He and I have been friends for 21 years, and that's because I also was him 21 years ago. I've been out of the prison system since 2006. Got married, got a good job with the city of Phoenix, kept my nose clean. I got business ideas, concepts. He helped me create and write all my scripts. So there's no issue with this young man coming out doing right, because he got me and he got them. But like I said, that was me 21 years ago. Same mistakes, same bull crap, people taking advantage of your kindness, his stature, his heart, everything. That was me. So if I can make it and change my life, and I think I saw you at Martin Luther King celebration. I was there.
You did.
Yes, sir. So if I can make it, he can. There's no doubt about it. So I'm one out of, 100,000 that have to get out of prison, change their life, educate themselves, stay out of trouble. That's me. That's going to be him. I feel, and I'm asking Councilman Hart to give this man a chance. You know, like I said, I did 14 years flat. I was on 7 years parole. When I got out, I went to community college, Georgia Community College, had a stable job, came back to the board. They released me 5 years early off of parole because I was doing so well, doing so good. And I'm continue to do good. Because I keep myself grounded, and this man has helped me through all this correspondence. He's helped me. He's helped me, he's guided me, because sometimes we all know who we fall to, we fall. And when I find myself falling sometime, getting weak and, you know, letting things bother me, because I had an anger problem. I took anger management in prison, do all the course necessary in prison to help me. Not for nobody else, not to look good, look pretty, for me. And it helped me. So when I was faulting, I would write him and tell him what was going on. He would send me positive letters, 3 to 4 pages, both sides. And I would sit there and enjoy them letters. Like, man, you're right. You're right. Don't let it bother you. You know, you're doing good. Stay positive. Get away from them people. Avoid them to the phone block. Don't be bothered that way. It's easy going for me. And so I want to say thank you for allowing me to come here today and speak on his behalf. I took a day off work, which I'm fine with it. But I'm here to support him, and if you have any questions, I'm willing to answer.
No question? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Anybody on the board have any questions for Mr. Winfrey at this time? Okay, we're nearing the end of your hearing, sir. The board will go into discussion to make a determination in a few minutes, but we'd like to give you an opportunity to give us a final statement, tell us any other information you might think is pertinent on this, and we just ask, and it's time management, that you don't repeat yourself, but now is your time.
I understand totally and fully what I did. Now I know a bunch of tears, heartfelt words don't bring back the victim. Nothing will. But what I went through in here, and it's been a lifetime of this, you know, and whatever point is needed to be made from the 25 years, it's been made 10 times over. And this isn't something that I look to, this is the lifestyle, anything, that mentality. It is something that I no longer carry those concepts in my mind. I don't participate. So, I mean, that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, sir. And thank you to all your support. The board is going to go in discussion. We will be talking amongst ourselves. So we ask that you do remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear the whole discussion. And once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you and we'll finish up the hearing. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
And the board is now in discussion. Now, this is an impressive case. I must say that I'm very impressed with Mr. Winfrey and his progress. He seemed to take full responsibility for his actions, and I was impressed with the way he kept saying out there. He was not trying to make excuses, he was just trying to explain things, and he didn't want to sound like an excuse. That's very refreshing. But he's also done a tremendous amount of programming, and apparently some of it is totally outside the box as far as self-initiating, but they took advantage of everything he did in the garden. You know. So that's very impressive. He has a great family of books, and he has a good release plan. He's living with his mother, and he's got plenty of support there, financial support. His already had the possession of a communication device. Back in 2014, he had a fighting discipline, but very little in the last 5-6 years, and the one that's gotten was not even. I'm inclined with the progress he's made and his 5-year plan for his, he's not only got a release plan, but he's got a 5-year plan for his, and hopefully during that 5 years he'll hang his own in the restaurant. I'm actually inclined to look at home arrest for Mr. Winfrey. I'm willing to listen to your discussion from the rest of the board members? Any discussion?
Yes, I support that too. I recognize that there was a discipline issue that resulted in a major 2 years ago, and that this is his first time up. And I'm certainly not forgetting that there was a victim in this case, but I have to admit I'm very impressed with Mr. Winfrey. And regardless of how this board votes today, he's certainly heading in the right direction. Thank you, sir.
Any other comments? Mr. Johnson.
I agree. I think he's going in a positive direction, and he does have the support. I thought it was kind of impressive what he said. I know when I was in high school, I was in a creative writing class, which kind of was the turning point in your life. It kind of makes you really start to think about what your life's been all about and what you've been doing and the direction that you're going in. So I hope that Mr. Winfrey will be able to be successful on his parole. He does have a strong role model who did 14 years and certainly understands the importance if he was on parole and went to school, got off parole. Matter of fact, he got an absolute discharge early. So that's something that Mr. Winfrey could sue for. So I think that, you know, having those role models and that type of communication would be helpful to him, that it's going to be on his shoulder to get his life right and keep straight. Maybe we get an opportunity at some point to get some of those patent sausage you're talking about.
Mr. Rio, thank you. I'm impressed by the detail in his five-year plan. Not many people have thought things out to that level of detail, but he's really got it planned out. I think he'll do it. So I'm being simple.
Thank you.
I'm going to support it. I think that he's ready to move forward. I think that, but in anything, I think that there are always some concerns that one has to raise, and the table of my concerns are just as a challenge to him, as well as to the board. I think that he's going to have to prioritize some of the things. He's been incarcerated since 1992, and he has at least five things he's going to get out and start running with. Despite all the support that he has, he's going to have to prioritize whether it's going to be the restaurant, whether it's going to be construction, whether it's going to be writing, whether it's going to be family support, whether it's going to be going to college. You can't do everything when you just get out. That's what I'm trying to say. It's going to take time. There's something important in terms of timing, and I think that he's going to have to, that five-year plan, he's going to have to prioritize what he's interested in doing. And I think that let's not forget that there is, you know, that there's, he's been incarcerated since 1992. It's going to take time, and I think the board cannot forget that. But having said that, I will support Homer West.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I do agree on the prioritization and not letting things pile up. But that's, I think that's one of the advantages of the Homer West, too. There's still quite a bit of control, which makes, you know, if they follow that rule, they have to really think out what they're doing so that they can do the right thing or without any trouble. So with all that said, I'm going to make a motion to grant Mr. Winfrey in suit number 99755, home arrest, or deny active discharge or regular parole. And that would be the motion, and then I'll go over the stipulations.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can we go over the there'll be some stipulations on here. I sometimes we can go and do it all at once again for the deal we're at. Do you have to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions? And home arrest is very strict, very limited in what you can do and everything, but a lot of things that you may want to do once you kill with your PO, then it falls in place, but you have to pay attention and work thing that your probation officer or board officer will tell you. And I would say, it's not so much assessment for some referrals on for employment and educational to help you get going with what you want to do. No alcohol use. and ran tests for drugs and alcohol. And what did you do in the police? And you may not operate a motor vehicle until your TO said it's okay, because, you know, you've been in there a long time and vehicles have changed and your muscles have forgotten how to react in the car. Of course, always there's no contact with victims or family. I didn't see any restitution, but if there is any restitution, I'll start paying on that. If they want you to be in a halfway house to begin with, you'll have to abide all of the institutional rules and partake in available program they have directed. So the PO may have some ideas of programs that have helped you get re-involved. Let's hear and see. I don't want to put a recommend to be placed with your mother. That doesn't mean you'll definitely get there, but that's what I'm going to put on there, okay? Because the DOC has to do an investigation of wherever you'd be placed to make sure it's okay for you to be there. And so we'll leave that part up to them.
But you do have to put that on there.
Yeah,
I just need address on that.
I just want to verify that I have the address, which I do, so I'll be on this. And what is the supervision for 16?
65. 65. 65.
65. 65. 65. 65. 65. Yeah, okay. And there'll be a $65 supervision fee, and it'll start after 60 days.
I think just to put in mind that the county will be responsible for 2 months, otherwise we're going to have a problem with the DOC.
Okay, yeah, I'll list that in the, under the conditions and the other. Okay, so do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
And when you come back, you'll be about 6 months out. We'll certify to come back and we'll see how you're doing with your own rest that time.
I'm sure. I'll be here.
Okay. It sounds like you got a lot of people who are going to make sure you abide by the rules, which that's really fantastic.
Yes, I do.
But I'd like to commend you on your attitude, your progress, and your whole personality. Very good, very refreshing to see that our correctional system can give some people some good, and reforming there is another example of it. And we do get that sometimes. It's very refreshing. And I want to thank your family for coming in all the support. Did you have something to say?
I think I see your
time. Okay. Mr. Johnson, do you have something?
Mr. Winfrey, you as well as your family, I do want to, you know, advise you that you're going to be on home arrest. Home arrest is still like being in prison. You still are in the custody of the court. You'll be on a monitoring system. You'll have to come up with a weekly schedule of what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be going, and you have to firmly stick with that schedule that you come up with. If you get off that schedule, if you're late, you're going to have a curfew too. And if you're late for coming into that curfew, then you can be violated. So just want everyone to understand, or want you to understand, that if you're on home arrest, you are still like being in custody of the Department of Corrections. And so it's not like you're just out on parole. You're still in custody of the Department of Correction. And it's so important to maintain that liaison with your PO and to, you know, keep your schedule, what your schedule says. If you say that you're going one place and that's where you go, that one place, and come back and don't stop off or go some other places, then I'm going to tell you that monitoring system that you're going to be on is very, 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 very accurate. And it will say where you went to, where you stopped at, what the name of the place was, where you were at. And if you get off of that, you know, you may have somebody waiting on you when you get home to pick you up. So you got to make sure you stay with that. So you have a 5-year plan, that you have a lot that you want to do, and you may not be able to accomplish that, all of that, right away. And I think that's why Dr. Wright is telling you to make sure you prioritize what you're going to actually be doing. I just want you to understand, before you get out, how restrictive this home arrest is and what you have to do in order to do it. You cannot drink and you cannot do any drugs. So don't feel like you get out and have a celebration and a party and drink a beer, because you'll be on longer UAs and you may have to go take the UA right after the next day after you drunk that beer. That's not going to be good for you, okay?
Yes, sir. Can I say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
In the last three few weeks, two people were killed on this unit while I'm at Spiner Unit. And while I'm locked down, and I'm almost certain that if I can be all right on lockdown, I can handle house arrest with my family. I've been doing this for a while. I can handle it. I have no intentions on running the streets and acting a fool. All I want to do is be a man with my family, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
We also suggest, sir, that when you leave the day, that you don't tell your friends there at where your house, don't tell them what happened. Don't tell them that you'll be getting out, because sometimes they will trick you and you will end up being in trouble again, because those who you think may be your friends may not be your friends. So you just tell them that you had a hearing today, and then at the appropriate time, you'll know when you're leaving. So, because you had some who get in trouble because they tell their friends, oh, I'm going. And sometimes friends get a little jealous of what's going on.
So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So be very careful how you tell them. Yes, sir.
Yes, I will. Thank you all very much.
All right, this will end your hearing, sir, and we wish you all the luck in the world. I expect to see you back in about 6 months for progress report.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You will. All right, Dave. Thank you. Have a blessed day, all of you.